Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, brand new episode here, and joining me this week, oh, by the way, my name is Danny, and joining me this week, we have Paris here in the house. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, man. How's everything, man?
It's great. How are you?
Good, man. Good. I know we had this conversation a couple of days ago, but E3 is 2 months away, less than 2 months away.
Yeah.
So
yes, it is. You guys have fun there, since I will not be there.
Yeah.
I will be there in the shadows. I will not be there the entire time.
Yeah. And also joining us, Pete, man. What's going on, Pete?
What is up? I am exhausted. I am a smidge away from level 100 on Apex. Finally freaking broke that barrier. I am exhausted from that and from watching UFC last night. So
nice.
It's been a good week. Finally broke 500 cure score, Danny.
Nice. That's good. I'm glad that motivated you. No, quick question about Apex, Pete. Yeah. You paid for the season pass or are you still playing normal?
I did do I paid for the battle pass, just the basic battle pass. I didn't want to do the extra one where you're paying for extra coins and stuff like that. So I just did the battle pass playing. It's fun. It's nonstop. It's frenetic. I actually reinstalled PUBG and I realized my mistake 3 games in and I quickly uninstalled it.
Wow. That's a piece. All right. Go to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you can listen to our past episodes over there. And you could go to any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and you will find us there. Make sure to subscribe, spread the word. Also, post your review. It will help us out a lot. Also, if you would like to help us out for the donations, we're going to talk about more at the end of the show. Just go to donate.gamertagradio.com because we're trying to go to E3 this year. And thanks for everybody supporting us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Been a lot of rumors about next gen. We know that PlayStation is not going to be there at E3 this year. Hopefully we might see some announcements in the future, maybe at a PlayStation Experience or maybe a separate event early next year to talk about their next gaming console, PlayStation 5. So there's rumors now that's been leaked. Now, like I was saying, this is all rumors. I'm just going to have fun with this because it's a great way for us to have a cool conversation about this. So, and I'm not surprised about this, but the leaker says that The Last of Us 2, a remake, like a remake version, is also going to be available for launch for PlayStation.
Yeah, well, so the one thing that there's two things that come out from that alleged leak that smell of not right of incorrectness, right? Of not true, right? You put that in the not happening bin. A remaster of Ghost of Tsushima, which hasn't even come out yet. Why would you remaster a title that hasn't even been released? Last of Us 2, I could see, but a remaster of... I mean, that's it. That's a remaster of Last of Us 2 and a remaster of Ghost of Tsushima. Two games that haven't even been released. Why would they remaster it? It just makes zero sense.
Free to play
version of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
Why would they just announce or do that just for the PlayStation? I mean, it makes sense, honestly, if it's going to sit there and try and compete with Apex and Fortnite as a viable third possible option now in the Battle Royale genre. You'd have to do that and just focus solely on microtransactions as your funding, as opposed to trying to get people to pay for that game. Considering the way that PUBG and Apex have leaped it in terms of development and popularity right now. I think it's the right thing to do. I think EA should probably take a look at that and maybe do that for their Firestorm. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen. It's EA. There's also a couple of other another couple of leaks according to this website. A leaked Harry Potter game and a possible Battlefield Bad Company 3, which was already rumored in the past. It's not going to happen so far. The one thing that's crazily, well, that's been a major debunk is Jason Schreier of Kotaku saying that PS5 dev kits haven't even been sent out. So it's tipping more on the, it's not happening as opposed to this actually being legit.
But now I know there's also rumors that PlayStation is still going to continue with their VR. I think they call it PlayStation VR 2 or something like that. I can see that happening because there's a lot of games still being developed for PlayStation 4, and they could easily go from that to PlayStation 5 and still continue playing that, man. Because it's been successful, right? Being very successful, VR for PlayStation. So, Paris, your thoughts about all this, man? I know it's still rumors. It's not more fake, but just a conversation. I think this is cool for us.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing reads like my son wrote this. I mean, 80% of this honestly makes no sense. Grand Theft Auto 6 with a 1 month timed exclusive. So, I mean, the reality of it is Horizon Zero Dawn 2 coming as a sequel is a no-brainer. PlayStation has already, if you go from the last state of play, has made it very clear that VR is going nowhere. So a new version of their VR coming with PlayStation 5 makes total sense. Last of Us 2, while I could see it launching with PlayStation 5, I'm still convinced it comes this year. Nothing has changed my mind on that. So I would expect that and Ghost of Tsushima, I never say that right, probably drop this year. And then, yeah, they'll probably also be playable on PlayStation 5, but I don't think it'll be a quote-unquote remaster. I think the game you buy this year, kind of similar to with what Xbox is going to most likely do, is you'll be able to basically pay it forward to the next console. So that just makes total sense. x86 architecture, the whole thing. So a lot of these games, they'll eventually show up on PlayStation 5, but it sounds like whoever wrote this or came up with this rumor just jotted down a couple fantasy things and whatever sticks they can point back to and go, hey, I was right. But like I said, 80% of this just sounds false to me.
Yeah. Well, speaking about PlayStation, and I know you mentioned Horizon Zero Dawn, the second game that's coming out, supposedly. So Janina Gavankar was at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, and she was streaming on Twitch, just like, you know, talking to the fans. And while talking to one of the fans, she mentioned that, oh, don't worry, I know a lot of secrets was going on, I can't wait for the second game of Horizon Zero Dawn, blah, blah, blah. They had like a quick little conversation about the game, and she's like, be on the lookout for it. And the fan was like excited because they were talking about it, right? And after that video got leaked, not leaked, but was available on Twitch, that clip got removed on Twitch after that. So you think this is on purpose, a mistake, or you think this is not true that she knows what's going on with Horizon Zero Dawn? What do you think?
I think it was a slip of the tongue. I think she's probably 100% accurate because I guarantee you they're working on that game right now. Again, something that would not shock me to launch alongside with the PlayStation 5 holiday 2020. So yeah, I mean, she probably does know something and just kind of slipped a little bit. But to me, again, worst kept secret in the industry that they're working on a sequel for Horizon Zero Dawn. So
yeah,
none of this surprises me.
And you're excited. You're excited.
As successful as that game was, I mean, why wouldn't they, right? Why wouldn't they want to capitalize on the success of that first game and its DLC that came out afterwards? So yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would not. Yeah. I would not be surprised. And don't be surprised if you see another God of War come out as well.
yeah. And that's the thing too. Like, those games that you mentioned is all single player games and has been very successful on PlayStation. So like yesterday, Respawn announced their new Star Wars game. It's called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. That's coming on November 15th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and also PC. And the first thing they said is single player, no multiplayer, none of that. nonsense that we've been seeing this throughout the years with Star Wars. And I'm happy about this. I'm not super excited just yet because I want to see the gameplay, because the only thing that they showed Respawn during the Star Wars Celebration is just like a story trailer, right? So most likely during EA Play, we might see like the official game, the first gameplay footage of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So what are your guys' reaction about the announcement yesterday? And are you excited or not excited or what?
If there's any excitement for me, it's a new start. It's a new Stormtrooper. I love Stormtroopers. I love the fact that they always miss their shots and everything else. But yeah, I'm psyched just for the Purge Troopers. Basically, I need to see more. I don't know if I have the same excitement I would have had 3, 4, 5 years later. I know Respawn worked with Disney and Lucasfilms on Fallen Order, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm hesitant though. I'm going into this with a little bit of trepidation because I don't want to get burned, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of variables in here, and on face value, because it's, you know, one of the flagship franchises for Disney. Everybody knows Star Wars, right? I'm skeptical, right? Not to say that a group like Respawn can't do it, because we know they're capable. We absolutely know that they've got the skill set to do things. I saw the wall running on the trailer, but I just don't know. I want to see more. You know, we kind of know somewhat of the story because of canon, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, the thing that I have to say about all this is that I trust Respawn. You know, I played all the games. There's not that many games from Respawn, but if you go back from all the way to like Modern Warfare, like Vince hasn't had like a really bad record, man, of like bad games, you know? So I trust him. I just need to see more. I don't want to be excited just because it's just Star Wars, you know? So I'm excited that they're concentrating on just the single player part of it. That's pretty cool. We haven't seen that in a very long time. Look, the thing that you guys, especially you, Pete, you were so excited about Star Wars 1313 is single player, and just the way how you play the game kind of reminded you of like Uncharted, like that type of vibe, right? And that's good, man. And look, let's go back to Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Dude, the story in that game, a classic. That game alone, to me, story-wise, is better than episode 1, 2, and 3 put together. Cause that story was freaking well done, man. You know, so I hope we'll see something special with this game once it comes out, you know? So to me, multiplayer doesn't work for Star Wars, in my opinion. But Paris, you want to say anything about this?
Yeah, my thing on it is this. Everything you said, I am sure it's coming from Respawn. It's going to be a fantastic game. It's going to be a lot of fun. But from this reveal, the protagonist seems kind of bland, kind of generic. He didn't really grab me as the lead character for this. And, you know, I tweeted this right after I saw it. And it's just how I feel. I'm tired of these Skywalker saga stories. We've had enough of them. I'm tired of these prequel stories in the Star Wars universe, because here, I'm going to give you a spoiler right now and tell you how this ends. So the hero's going to go through. He's the apprentice. He's going to learn the Force. He's going to be the Jedi. And then by the very end, he's going to be in a room. The door's going to open and Vader's going to be standing there, and he's going to hit his lightsaber, and it's going to go black. Because guess what? We already know his fate. Because this is, again, is another prequel. There's no way this character survives the end of the story, because we already know there aren't any Jedi by the time we're introduced to Luke Skywalker. And if there is, this completely breaks canon, because why would he be hiding during everything that has been going on, right? So start telling the story. Look, this is why Knights of the Old Republic was so great, because it was so in the distant past that they were able to do whatever they wanted. They had creative freedom to tell the story that they wanted to tell at that time, or tell something that's in a completely different region of that universe and don't involve Jedi and the Force and all that stuff, right? Because then you have creative freedom to do whatever you want, or tell something that actually happens past episode 9. Just something that we don't already know how it ends. That's what I want from Star Wars at this point. We've had enough stories told inside the whole in between episode 3 and episode 4 that you already know what his fate's going to be. Not to mention, there was another game, and I'm forgetting the name of it right now. This is actually very similar to it, where remember Vader had a secret apprentice? I forget
Force
the name.
Unleashed.
There you go. So I'm not saying this is Force Unleashed, but it has similar tones to it as well.
Right.
End of the day, I'm sure this game is going to be fun to play. Like you said, no microtransactions. It is a single player experience. Respawn has already shown with Titanfall 2, they can tell a great story. I just want, if we're talking Star Wars specifically, I just want something outside of where we've been living the past 10 years, which is this Clone Wars era. And that's what the story is.
Right. And that was my concern. I don't want another Force Unleashed, right? We already saw what happened with that. That one was set between A New Hope and Return of the Jedi, I believe, or something like that. So, like you said, we already know what's going to happen after it, right? In the same vein as with Force Unleashed. Like Paris said, it's going to it leads up right up to episode 3. So What else can they do that's going to be completely outside of what we already know with the Star Wars universe? So,
but Disney is, at the end of the day, they're the ones going to be like, can't do this, can do that. Let's add this story into the game. And I'm wondering why stick to that story so much. Like, it's, and I agree with Paris, man, like Knights of the Republic, do something different, that you have so much creative freedom to come up with like a unique story that also relates to Star Wars from now.
Ever since they announced that everything that comes out moving forward has to be canon, it severely limits the creative output and the direction that you can go when you're working with a universe as expansive and as loved as Star Wars, right? You have to stick within a specific subset of rules. It has to, it literally has to go through a person or like a team of Star Wars experts that give it the thumbs up or the thumbs down. You know, if it broaches any kind of, you know, canon limitations, it gets discarded and move on and rework your stuff and come back to me. So I'm sorry, until they're able to maybe potentially loosen the reins on that. And plus, Disney is very, very well known for taking one thing and stretching it out for the next 15-20 years. So don't be surprised if this is basically Force Unleashed 3 with new characters.
Now, what would you like to see gameplay wise? I know it's not a first person shooter. It's more maybe third person, I guess, right?
I'm thinking third person melee type fighting with force, so like what? With force powers and things like that. So
yeah.
Think Uncharted with a lightsaber and or you know laser pistols or laser rifles, similar to how you see Battlefront. And you can and with Battlefront you can swap back and forth between first and third person perspectives, so that'd be really cool if you can go back and forth, or depending on how you're interacting with the environment. If you're in Jedi mode and you've got the lightsaber out, you know, go to first person. It allows you to do, you know, third person, you know, it allows you to do like wall running maneuvers and stuff like that. But if you're just interacting with the regular, you know, with the regular environment, you can go to third person. I think that's how.
So this is like Star Wars 1313 then, in a way, like the third person, that type of vibe. So this could be the game that you always wanted, right? Since Star Wars 1313.
Maybe, but see, the difference was 1313 was had nothing to do with, you know, with the current canon. It was so different. Had nothing to do with Jedis. You were a bounty hunter on, you know, the bottom level of Coruscant. It was exactly what I wanted, and exactly what Paris was talking about as well, where he doesn't want anything having to do or with the current universe or the current known universe as everybody knows it, right? It's fine. It might be a fringe character on the outskirts, but it was non-Jedi related, and I think that's the fatigue that gamers or people are watching now or are experiencing now. It's too much fatigue. Hell, we even saw Disney's now said that they're going to start taking a little bit longer time in between release of movies. You know, it's going to be quite a while till we see another Star Wars movies after this one drops. So
yeah, that's good. I think that's good. Take a break. You know, so anything you want to say, Paris, before we go to the next topic? You good?
I think that's about it. Like Pete said, mm-hmm. it's just we need more stories outside of anything that has to do with the frickin' Skywalkers, the Palpatines, the Organas, the Solos, the Hutts. It's like there's other things out there in that universe that can be told. By the way, I guess you're just speaking specifically on Respawn, because like Pete said, this has a potentially an Uncharted feel to it. If you remember, that was the game that Amy Hennig was making, and it was supposed to be have a very Uncharted feel, Star Wars, but then Respawn came in with their version and demoed it and just blew away the higher-ups at EA, which got Amy Hennig's game completely canceled because it was further along and it just looked better. So again, when you think of it in that vein, I'm sure we will play this game and go, man, this was freaking great. I love it. I just wish the actual story aspect of it happened with something new, especially like Pete's saying right now, everything has to be canon. Why not add on to the canon of the game in a different sector of the verse or a different time period of the verse versus what we already know? That's all I'm saying. Because look, I don't need characters I already know to show up in this game to do a nice little wink and a nod to whatever, which I guarantee you is going to happen. So,
yeah.
But again, they're not selling this game to us. So let's be clear on this. They're not selling it to us. They're trying to sell it to everybody. So they want some familiarity to the mass audience, so they'll go buy it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Didn't know that about the demo. Didn't know that at all. All right. So, and I have a question to Paris. Paris, do you know the co-founder, Jason West? Have you met him in person when you went to Infinity Ward? Mm-hmm. And I know he's a co-founder of Respawn. So he joined Epic Games.
Yeah,
they're going to be working on some stuff over there. Yeah. What do you think about that, man?
It's interesting that his name came up because he has not been heard of since Modern Warfare 3, was it? I know he left right as the Infinity Ward split happened. They started Respawn. He was actually there when Respawn, you know, was founded, and then he left shortly after. So that was the last we had heard of Jason West. So to see him pop back up now with Epic is curious. I'm just genuinely curious what he'll be working on and what he'll do. I mean, he's going to do something.
He left in 2013. He left Respawn.
So the reason why I'm asking you, Paris, a lot of people probably don't know much about Jason. And you met him years ago during, I think, the community event, right? Of Modern Warfare before it was even shown to the world. So how is he, you know, like, tell us a little bit more about him, because I don't know much.
Why are you putting me on the spot about Jason West? Like, I freaking know. That was like a decade ago. I don't know. He's a cool dude. I mean, he was a cool guy. That's all I can tell you. So again, I'll be curious to see what he's working on in the future.
Okay. Damn, you know, I'm trying to start a conversation. Okay, Paris.
If I'm not mistaken,
what do you want me to say? I don't know what to say.
Paris, I think that was the Modern Warfare 2 event, right? That was when you and I met up?
I met him before Modern Warfare even came out, because I'd went to Infinity Ward before they'd even announced what that game was going to be. So I'd met him, Vincent Pella. It's like going back in my head and remembering that time and thinking, holy, you know what? The people that I was sitting there surrounded. That was when Robert Bowling first got the community manager job at Infinity War. That's how long ago this was. That was 2007. Long time ago.
Wow. And it wasn't called Modern Warfare at that time, right?
It was called Call of Duty 3. When we saw it was considered called Call of Duty 3, and obviously Activision came in and had Treyarch make a Call of Duty 3, so then they changed it to Call of Duty 4.
Modern Warfare.
Oh, snap. That's crazy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, fellas, let's talk about Blue Chew. And when I say Blue Chew, you know what I mean. I mean performance in the bedroom. Now, do you want to increase that performance and get the extra confidence that you need? Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, and you know they work. Look, I understand this is an ad. This is something that can be a touchy subject, but it's real, man. And let me tell you, they sent over Blue Chew. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. Why not? I don't think I need it, but I'm going to try it. And I tried it, and guess what? It works freaking great. It really does. And if you need that extra confidence, you need that extra boost, go check out Bluetooth. Now, it isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra confidence and that extra enhancement to their performance. So look, Bluetooth is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Bluetooth prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. So right now, for our GTR listeners, we got a special. Visit Bluetooth.com, get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code GTR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Bluetooth.com, promo code GTR. Try it for free. Bluetooth is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
For non-gaming news, it's kind of gaming related a little bit, not much, but Disney Plus, the streaming service, just was announced. And here's the part that I really want to talk about, because it's coming out, all consoles, right? Xbox, PlayStation, of course, smart TVs and everything. But then I read that they're also going to bring, Disney's also going to bring this service to Nintendo Switch, which is surprising because we're still waiting for Netflix. What's Netflix?
Well, why is that surprising? Like, Disney's trying to rule the world. They're going to put it on every platform they can.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying, like, right now, the only thing that we have is what, YouTube and Hulu.
Think about it. You just answered your question. Hulu's already on the Switch. They own Hulu.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. Remember the Disney Plus announcement earlier in the week when they officially unveiled it on that investor call, that potential bundle of Disney, of ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu all combined into one single bundle gives you a lot of content. So
that's a lot of content.
Now, my question about that Nintendo Switch thing, I think PlayStation has a confirmed agreement with Disney Plus.
Yes, they have a Sony agreement.
If they've got that agreement, how or why? I understand the try to get, try to touch as many platforms as possible. If they have that if they have the agreement with Sony, why would Nintendo, or how would they do that? How would that work with Nintendo?
What do you mean? Why?
Like, is
why
it confirmed? Like, because we have confirmed with Sony, but we don't have it confirmed right now. It's still speculation that it's Nintendo.
Yeah, but
they announced it. It was announced by Disney. It's there's images.
No,
and everything
there was a
of
picture.
All the system.
There was a picture with a Sony Switch or with a Nintendo Switch on it. But I don't know if there's been a confirmation that Nintendo's.
Let's back up. Why wouldn't Disney put their new service everywhere Netflix is plus some? They're going to put it on every platform. This isn't like they're signing some exclusive deal with someone. When that thing launches, it's going to be everywhere. Why wouldn't it be? It'll be on your iPhone. It'll be on your Android. It's going to be on your smart TVs. It's going to be on the Roku. It'll be on the Switch, Xbox, PlayStation. It's going to be everywhere. Why wouldn't it? And if it isn't there day one, it'll come shortly after.
That's true. But let's talk about this price though. $6.99.
Yeah. And did you hear the Wall Street version of this? Why it's $6.99? Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so Disney is expected to lose upward of $1 billion a year until 2024 with Disney Plus, because they purposely is selling it at this price, knowing they could charge more, but they're putting it at this price because they're doing this global launch. They want everybody and your mama to be a subscriber to this. They want you to get hooked on it with the content, get used to it. Undercut Netflix. This is a direct shot to take down Netflix, because if you look at what Netflix is doing, let me back it up this way. Right now, with the Netflix price increase, you're going to pay $16 a month for their 4K tier, right? Their family tier. Disney Plus is going to literally give you the same exact thing, all their movies in 4K HDR for $7. Yeah. So they're trying to undercut Netflix. So they're willing to open the war chest, lose a ton of money up front, get everyone subscribing on their service, and then quietly, slowly but surely start raising the price after 2024. Right. It's a smart move.
Because think about it. Netflix is already in the whole major billions of dollars. They've talked. That's not a surprise. And why? Licensing. They have to pay out the butt to companies like Disney for their Marvel titles and all of their animated and all of their Disney classics to be able to show on there, which are starting to slowly but surely get pulled out of Netflix. Those licensing costs are the exact reason why they've been lately focusing on original content.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to pay the licensing fees on those. And that's why they have to keep raising the fees for customers like myself who pay for the 4K tier, and for multiple, for concurrent streams. So that's one of the reasons why Disney is able to do it. Yes, they're going to outlay a lot of cash because you do that at the beginning with the hopes of sucking people into your ecosystem. But yeah, they don't have to pay those licensing fees. They already own them. So they're allowed to. They have a shorter margin for profit because they don't have or a shorter direction to the profit because they don't have to pay those licensing fees. It's free money at this point. And everybody that has a kid at least is going to want to have that Disney. It's cheaper than Netflix, and you can sit there and watch all of those Disney classics, now all the Marvel movies and everything else in between. With your kids. So yeah, when little Johnny and little Jane are yelling and screaming because they want to see Lion King on TV, you're going to turn on Disney Plus because you can't get it on Netflix or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now with this move, having it for $6.99, how much is it for the year? You guys
$70, which comes out to like $5.80 a month if you buy it up front.
Yeah, even cheaper. Do you think companies like Microsoft and Google are watching this too? Like, okay, let's see what's going to happen, because like we had this conversation a couple episodes ago, this is going to change completely just streaming service overall, even gaming included, man. Do you think because of this announcement and plus what Google is planning to do, do you think Microsoft is maybe making some changes because of this or what? Because I think that a lot of people are going to subscribe to this, man, because it's so, so cheap, man. Beyond the content, but, and also original content too, but what do you guys think?
Wait, okay. Are you talking their Project X Cloud, the game streaming?
I personally think that streaming is also going to be part of Game Pass. That's what I think. So have it for $9.99 right now. And Xbox Live is what, together is $14.99. So, because of that, are we going to see a price drop because of that or no?
Well, I've told you before, I think Stadia is going to be free, and I think the same Project X Cloud is going to be free. I don't think they're going to charge anything because they're not going to get adoption if they charge anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pete? No? Move on?
I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay.
Here goes. I love how he didn't even wait. He's like, Pete? No? Okay, bye. We move on.
To elaborate on that, I see what you're not I understand what you're saying. I get what you're trying to say, because hey, Disney is bringing in their streaming service at an extremely low consumer friendly price. Would Microsoft and Google do the same for their game streaming? But like, again, my speculation, we will not know until they officially announce the stuff at E3 or whatever. But I personally think if you charge anything to say, hey, if you want to stream your games, you got to pay us another $5 a month or whatever it would be, I think that will actually hurt them from getting mass adoption to it, because I don't think that the technology is brand new. It's mostly unproven outside of PlayStation Now. Look, we know people don't buy PlayStation Now. The numbers prove it, right? So why would you charge? If you charge, I'm going to be hesitant to use it. And like Microsoft has said many times, they're going after billions of people to get on there. And the only way you're going to get billions of people to try this is if you give it to them. Because if you charge them, I'm going to go, why am I paying for this? I'll just download my games like I have been already. Now,
my question to you about that, Paris, my question is, what happened if Google and Microsoft charges for the streaming service?
They're both going to go down in flames. that's my opinion. Yeah. I don't think this is successful if it's charged. But that again, my opinion, I could be 100% wrong, just like you with Battletoads, and you could laugh at me later. I don't know.
But hey,
I just don't think they can charge. I do not think they can charge for it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
But on the flip side with the Disney thing, of course, I got to charge something, but they're betting on our cheap price – plus all our exclusive content that you will not be able to get anywhere outside from the Disney vault, which will include Star Wars, Pixar, Marvel, all the classic Disney animated movie, just cartoon, everything that they got under the sun, not to mention all the stuff they're bringing over from Fox. My God, as I was watching that thing, I kept saying, oh, $20, $20, $20. And I'd have been willing to pay it because that's how much content they're going to have. You know, that would be compelling to me. And then they're like, oh yeah, we need to give it to you $7. I was like, sign me the F up. I'm there. You know? And I'm not going to be the only one that thinks that way.
I hope they announce like a family plan or something like that too. Cause right now they just announced the year and just a subscription service. That's
When you say family plan, what do you mean? Cause I'm going to guess
multiple streams.
Yeah. My guess is again, if they're trying to get people to jump on board, at least three continuous streams, at least three, maybe even four. Because if they come in at what Netflix is basically charging for, what was it, four streams is what I'm paying now for $16 for the 4K. If they give all that away for $7, Netflix doesn't have no choice but to lower their price. I don't see how they can't.
Yeah, yeah. Oof.
The problem would be, can they continue to operate at a loss, right?
No, I don't think so. And that's what Disney's probably betting on long term.
That's what they're betting, yep.
Yeah, no way they can. If Disney is willing to go from the next 5 years at $1 billion loss per year, like, hey, we don't care. There's no way Netflix can do that.
Well, they're going to make up that $1 billion in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to make the money even before 2024 Paris. If it's like this, because this is just, it's Disney, it's Star Wars, it's Marvel, plus Fox, Nat Geo, what else they have in there? Pixar.
Everything. The point.
You really want.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, hell.
Plus, if they buy, yeah,
go they've for already it. Confirmed in within the first year, Endgame, you know, Episode 9, Captain all this Marvel. Stuff. Captain Marvel's day one. I'm just saying things that won't even be there day one that will eventually get there within the first year. So
Frozen they're giving 2, Toy Story yes, 4, the yeah. live action remake of Lion King.
King, all Ugh. That. Aladdin will be on that. All these movies that are coming out in the theaters this year will be on that service within the first year of it being out. Oh, that's insane.
And the Marvel TV shows too. Hawkeye, Loki, Wanda, and Vision, Falcon, yeah. and Winter Storm.
And it launches.
The What If series.
And it launches with The Mandalorian.
Yes. I mean,
it's like, come on.
Hmm.
They're going for it.
With The Simpsons, I know they're going to have 30 years of all the seasons there, right? What about the new ones? Did they say anything about new?
And that's the move that they're doing. What's airing, that the current season won't be on there, but basically all past seasons will be. And that makes sense. But then here's what it gets you again. If you want to watch the current season, That'll be on Hulu.
That's all Disney, yeah.
Yeah.
Force you to get the bundle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. You want to watch all the old UFC fights? Come on over to ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus, yep. And I'll tell you right now, I know we're veering off into streaming talk on content, but if that bundle comes in at $20, game, set, match. It's over. If they can give that away for $20, like, here, we'll give you all three of them for $20, game, set, match. Who's not doing that? What household is not doing that? Because they're literally giving you something for everybody at that point. Families, everything.
Yeah. All right. So let's go with the next topic. It's all about fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So we have one voicemail and a couple emails here. So I think this is a good one. This is from Trevor. Hey fellas, my name is Trevor. I'm currently in the midst of building my first ever PC. Seeing so many content creators as well. You guys talk about the differences in PC, console gaming, as well the hype around Cyberpunk 2077 has pushed me into stepping into the PC gaming scene. Do you guys have a recommendation as to which games I should start out with? I'm open to any game genre. Thanks. Shout out to Trevor. PC experts, P in Paris?
I mean, we've answered this question multiple times. In today's gaming landscape, basically all the games that any third-party game that you would play on a console is going to be available on PC. If you're talking PC specific, I don't know if you're into things like League of Legends, Dota, you know, Counter-Strike or something like that. You could pick up a game that way. Obviously, MMO like World of Warcraft, things of those natures, but just your typical RPG type games, your typical shooter adventure games, they're on console as well. So you're probably experiencing them, but the difference is playing them on PC, you're going to get better visuals, fidelity, higher frames per second. Mm-hmm. There's other custom things that you'll be able to do that you cannot do on a console. Not to mention if you want to play with mouse and keyboard, which is the better control scheme as far as precision goes as well.
Pete, any games you recommend?
No.
You're on mute?
He said no.
I am totally muted. No, no, we talked about this a few months ago with things like that. But so I would say, depending on what you're looking for, again, like Per said, League of Legends, Dota, if you're looking for something newer, Frostpunk, highly recommend it. Trying to think, Quake Champions, is that exclusive to the PC or is that on?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so yeah, if you're looking for a shooter, something like that, obviously right now I'm going to tell you Apex. That's probably my favorite game right now. It's like I've been swapping back and forth between that and the Division 2. But hey, it's free and you can have fun and play online. So there's no complaints there. But those are the games that I'd throw out off the rip.
All right. So P, I know you have one voicemail. You would like to play it?
Hey guys, Leo from Las Vegas here. I wanted to say thanks for all the work you do. Everything is sounding great, including daily conversations. Thinking back to the last question I sent you, it never got aired, but I can completely understand because it was super convoluted. So I want to break down three questions, hopefully pretty simple. Hopefully you can give us all your thoughts on it. Number one, is there even a real difference between this generation and the next? If everything is pretty much built on like the x86 architecture or whatnot, wouldn't we be able to play the games of tomorrow today since everything is kind of on that PC type infrastructure? Second question, which do you think is worse? If sales success wins over critical success, which one is worse? Missed messaging like what we saw with Xbox in 2013 or no messaging like what we see with PlayStation right now regarding PS5? Last question, this one may be kind of a doozy, is when we're talking about streaming being kind of the next war, if you will, not really console war, but it'll be the next war. How do you think you come out on top if you're Xbox, PlayStation, Google? Is it through full title releases like what we see now with the existing platforms, or is it through episodic game content like what you see with like Life is Strange or the Hitman title, stuff like that? If you can, let us know your thoughts. Appreciate all the good work and hope to hear more from you guys leading up to and through E3. Thanks.
All right, Danny, thoughts?
It's a lot of questions there, man. Oof. So let's go with any differences with the next gen stuff from now on the next one.
I think we've covered this one on a couple occasions. I think 4K 60 has to be. I think Paris has been the one leading in charge on that one. 4K 60 has to be the new norm, or at least the standard, right? I'd even venture lower and say maybe 1440 just to appease the video files. I still don't know if 4K is out in the wild enough for it to be the standard for people like myself who play. I mean, I play on 1440 monitors and it looks gorgeous. Sure. If I were to pop it on over to, one of the TVs in the living room or in my office, yeah, we could go with 4K, but until 4K has proliferated the market the way 720 and or 1080 is today, that's when I think 4K 60 has to be the standard or the torchbearer for future games.
And to me, to next gen, like I see Nintendo Switch as a next gen console too, because it's a system where you could play this anywhere you want, home, on the go, etc. And I think for the next console, have different type of consoles, like how you have it now with PC, that some of you could play it 1080, 4K, the low end console, or go with the high end also. That's where that to me is what, like, beyond 4K and all that, Pete, is to have consoles for everybody, man, not just the people that just want to get 4K.
Graphical fidelity, and experience are the two stalwarts when you talk about what's going to be coming in the next gen. But not every manufacturer abides by that. Nintendo, as we know, we've seen it with the Switch, goes more by experience versus technological marvel, right? So it, as far as, you know what you see on the screen, that's where, aside from PC gamers, that's where you see, you know, the Xbox fans and PlayStation fans. That's what they that's what they all sit there and they pitchforks with sworded shields. Nintendo turns around and says, you know what? We don't need to do that. We'll give you games like Mario and so on and so forth and Zelda. And that's how they strut their stuff, right? That's how they peacock saying this is why you come over there. But at the end of the day, it's up to the person. It's personal choice. Depends on what you want to do. I'm you know, blessed enough to have multiple consoles. I have a Switch. I have an Xbox, a PlayStation, etc. So I have a choice, and I give myself that choice because I'm fortunate enough to have that. But not everybody does. So you have to make a choice, and you do that based on your own personal preference. Do you want experience or do you want looks and feel? So again, it's up to you. It's up to what you want to experience and what you wanted to use to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't force a consumer. That's how I see it. Paris?
I do think that's where Stadia can have an advantage over traditional gaming, where they can offer some episodic stuff, some kind of almost like a global participation event with their games and have it instantly available versus people having to worry about downloading, things like that. So if anything, and they kind of talked about this a little bit too, like when they started talking about Battle Royale games, I believe it was part of the presentation or whatever, where instead of 100 people, maybe you have 1,000 people in there. Just they'll be able to scale way more easily with their cloud effort than we have right now with current the current gaming landscape, because they can instantly take advantage of their entire infrastructure with all their data centers around the world. That would be the thing that I would look for with cloud gaming evolving what we see with gaming today and where it potentially could work and have lasting power versus just trying to simply do a copy and paste of what we're already doing. They have an opportunity to take that and innovate on top of what we already have now. So I would look at that to be the thing that's going to give cloud gaming its lasting power.
A thousand players.
I'm not saying that. They just use it as a crazy example. I don't think that would work in the traditional sense, but maybe they could do something where, yeah, you literally have 1,000 people in one instance participating together in something. You know, again, this is probably something that doesn't even exist today, but that's where innovation and creativity of a new platform comes. This new technology comes into place. You get people that's way smarter than us that can think of something like that and take advantage of it.
But Paris, you only mentioned from the Google point of view, right?
I'm just saying in general. It doesn't have to be versus Google versus Amazon thing. I'm just saying.
I was going to ask about PlayStation and Xbox, but yeah.
No, okay. It's any That's of fine. Them. I'm just saying this is basically a new platform for any of them to quote unquote innovate on. What we do know right now is the ones that could easily start doing it is going to be Google, Microsoft, or even Amazon if they decide to jump in it on that scale, because they already have the infrastructure in place. Sony does not, and they probably won't for a long time, and it would be a huge gamble for them to try and stand up their own infrastructure, because the way it would work for Sony right now is, I mean, if they were to try and do it, they're going to have to rent infrastructure from guess who? Microsoft, Google, or Amazon. So I don't see them doing that right now. I think they'll stick with what they currently have with PlayStation Now, because right now they have no need to try and take a risk like that. They're the leaders in the clubhouse, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I'm really curious to see what Amazon is continuing to work on. We know that they've been working on a subscription video game service that was talked about back in January. We know our good friend Albert Pinello, formerly at Microsoft, is over there working on, I believe, VR games. I really am curious to see what they are doing in general with regards to it, because they've been relatively quiet. Aside from that, you know, subscription video game streaming service that they're developing back in January, we haven't heard much from them, right? We've heard all these announcements from all the other major players and all these things, especially Google, their biggest probably competitor. What are they working on? What do they have in store?
Yeah. Yeah, they had, what was the name of that box that they released a couple of years ago from Amazon? That they had, it was streaming for movies, and also you could download apps and games. They sent me one out years ago. I can't remember now.
With the Fire Stick?
Well, it's not the Fire Stick. It's Fire. It's a Firebox or Fire?
No, I forget the exact, but yeah, it's basically a Fire Stick, but it's a little set top box like an Apple TV.
Yeah. So that one, they sent me a controller. And I use it for a little bit. I mean, they had mobile games basically on playing on your TV. That's it. So
right.
That's the only thing they've been working on, but are they gonna take it to the next level now and make bigger and better games?
Because well, those were kind of what they've done. They've done that with the Fire appliance, with their little Fire Sticks and Fire sets. Those things are selling like hotcakes. You can't, you know, they're everywhere and they're mm-hmm. commonplace now, right? It's not like before where they were, you know, they were like, you know, they were, you know, just something that you might see at someone who's an early adopter type or someone who's just tech. No, my in-laws have Fire Sticks at home, you know, so that, you know, cause they've cut cable. So it's not a foregone conclusion to see that, you know, they know the direction to go to, you know, it's in the same way that Google has their little, what are those pucks? The streaming pucks, not the Nexus player, help me out here, guys. I can't remember what they're called. I have two of them. The little things, the Chromecast. Sorry, there you go.
Chromecast.
Yeah, they work in the same fashion. Yeah, yeah. So just a matter of time, dude. It's just a matter of time. Yeah. And when Paris said, AWS, mm-hmm. that's the cloud, right? That's everybody. When you think cloud, everybody thinks AWS first and foremost. And then you've got, you know, Microsoft and Azure behind them. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you've got the three major players talking about a game subscription service and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what they have in store. It's going to be insane. I mean, hell, we're on Twitch right now, and you know, thank you, Uncle John. You know, thank you, Uncle Jeff. You know, who's over there?
Yeah. All right, Pete. Let's go with the donation shoutouts, and for us to wrap it up after that.
All right. Wow. Shout out to Vicious696 for his using his Twitch Prime 19 months. Appreciate that, brother. Shout out to Crackshot for $5 donation. Thanks for the content. Part 3, Rise of the E3 Podcaster. Carter with the $10 donation. Thanks. Thank you guys for all that you do. Shout out to Shoji Kodo for using his subscription. Tier 1 Arctic, one of our mods. Thank you so much. Hit him up on Xbox. He's been killing it for in the Division 2. Mm-hmm. For his tier 1 subscription. Keon dropped another $25. Shout out to the main man in Baltimore. Y'all are my guys. I'll donate more when I can.
Shout out to him.
And I think that has been it.
All right. So if you'd like to donate and help us out, because we're trying to go to E3, just go to donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you for everyone that's supporting us throughout the years, and especially now too, man. So thank you so much. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe and also post a review. It will help us out big time. And that's about it. Until next time, stay tuned. More content of Gamertag Radio coming very, very soon. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.